Good morning, Texas. Good morning, Dallas. Good morning, Fort Worth. Good morning to the website family. This is Mike Paulson from the Cup of Goodness program this morning. This is our 121st program. I'd be anxious to hear from folks that have been with us a number of programs. I did hear from a lady named Barbara. I appreciate what you sent with your letter, and it was good to hear from you. It's good to hear that there's folks out there listening. Good to hear that you use a King James Bible. And I would like to ask you some questions sometime, of course, about rightly dividing and some of those denominational questions I always want to get into with folks. But we're going to talk about marriages today again. And I think what we're going to do is probably going to end this thing today. I've got something about this, about marriage and divorce and remarriage that I hadn't seen before until I got into this thing today. So I think some of the folks on the website, some of the folks that have been listening to this stuff for years and have been asking me questions, I think we're going to see an answer to some of your questions tonight. I'm sorry, this morning. Remember, this is Tuesday night. I'm recording this thing about midnight or so. But it is morning when you'll be listening to this. We're going to try to wrap this thing up tonight, because every time I get into a mini-series or something with our programs, I end up coming up with some other subjects I'm anxious to talk about. Put into a 30-minute program or 25 minutes, I guess it is. I am really anxious to talk about Christmas and Christmas music and Revelation chapter 11 and what it has to do with Christmas and the tribulation and Christmas and the Antichrist teachings that are going on in the churches today. I'm just itching to get into that subject. I spent a few minutes the other night looking at a website from a large church down in the Dallas area, and I was just still tweaked by how they take the scriptures and just use them so wrongly divided. They don't divide at all. They're mixing them all together. And I'm reading that stuff, and it just tweaks me up. It just makes me want to drive down there, because I won't fly. I hate the security problem with flying. I like to just talk with these guys and say, listen, let's open up our Bibles. Let me ask you some questions, you guys. You got this wrong, this baptism thing. You just got this all wrong. You can't use part of Matthew and part of Mark and then go over here to Acts and go back to Acts chapter 2 and then go back over here into Peter and go back into the Gospels. You can't do that. That does not make any sense at all. And so I would love to just talk about that, but it wouldn't do any good. They won't be listening to this program anyway. And then they've got this fancy schmancy website, crisp and clean, and all these drop-down things and all these different sorts in different places and pictures, you know, and all this kind of stuff. Would I like a website man to come in here, a webmaster, I guess they call him, and really know how to do this stuff and put this together into a first-class website operation? No, I just want people to realize, just get a hold of your King James Bible. You don't need all these preacher pastor guys. You don't need all these books. You don't need all these videos. You don't need all those sermons to understand this stuff. My site's got sermons. They're there if you want to get into it, if you want to read some stuff and learn some stuff. But I still, my whole goal is just to get people to pick up that King James Bible and read that thing from cover to cover, as well as intently study Paul's books, and then get into the changes in your life. And it shouldn't destroy your marriage to do that. It shouldn't destroy your job. It shouldn't make you into a nutcase to people. But it does. It's amazing to me. So what we have here, we have in this day and age, in this religion, we have people just dumping back to Acts chapter 2 where they say, it says, you're praising God and having favor with all the people. That was the way the church got started. But today we look to Paul, we look to Ephesians chapter 4 for the purpose of the church. Anyway, and then we've talked about the church. What is the church? Well, the church is the body of Christ, not a local denominational assembly. The local church is supposed to be based after the body of Christ. But I'll tell you right now, and I've talked about this before, the local churches today are being run by the gospel of the Antichrist. Because the Antichrist has taken Jesus' teachings to the Jews, and he's teaching that to the Gentiles. And we're supposed to be hearing from Paul. We're supposed to be hearing from the ways of Paul. And the only place you find the ways of Paul is in a King James Bible, and that must be rightly divided. The word of truth must be rightly divided. It's a gospel of your salvation, and it's also what's written to the Gentiles. So I just want to get people to be able to read their Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and then intensify on Paul's books, and make some changes in their life eventually. Once they start to get the understanding of sin, and what Christ did with sin, and what Christ did with your soul, and what's going on with your flesh, and the judgment seat of Christ that's coming up, and the way to live a life that shouldn't make people mad, it shouldn't destroy any marriage, it should fix them all, it shouldn't cause problems at work. But we're finding out today it does all those things, and it's really not God's fault. Hopefully it's not your fault. It might have a lot to do with how we react to these things. Sometimes we'll take these teachings from Paul and we'll understand them, and yet we'll preach and teach them in the manner that Jeremiah did it, or the manner that Jesus did it in the temple, destroying the tables, you know, getting out there, make this big scene. And we find out that that isn't how Paul wants us to be, or should I say that isn't how the risen Christ wants us to be during this dispensation of grace. But anyway, I've talked about all that stuff in 120 programs before this one. So let's get into this one tonight. This is a very interesting one about marriages. What we're going to talk about tonight is somebody gets a hold of this Bible, the husband or the wife, and they get a hold of the rightly divided Bible, and they get a hold of the teachings of the risen Savior, and they get a hold of Paul as being their apostle. And just like Festus said to Paul, the wife would say to the man, "Honey, have you gone mad? Are you nuts? All this Bible study you're doing, what are you coming up with here?" And it causes some problems. Or the wife gets a hold of this stuff, and the man with his man pride says, "Listen, I don't want you teaching me anything." And he pulls out the scriptures. You're not supposed to teach him anything. He takes you to 1 Peter chapter 3. "You need to be in subjection to me, woman. And if you don't do this, you know, there's abuse involved. There's arguments involved, you know." And before you know it, either you get a divorce or you just live a miserable life. Your kids are destroyed by the whole thing. And being in the school systems that I am and seeing all these children, I see kids being destroyed far more than any husband and wife had their issues. Really a sad thing to see. But we're going to go here. We're going to show you how to deal with the differences within a marriage that causes problems. Now, I do have a sermon on the website. Actually, it's a presentation page, and it shows how children can destroy the husband and wife by their behavior. And in a nutshell, it goes like this. Ladies, women, mothers, wives react to the children's negative lifestyle differently than a man does. The woman expects the man to respond this way, and when the man doesn't respond the way she does, we got a problem. Maybe I'll have to do a program about that. But what's going on here? Those kids know how to put mom and dad against each other by their behavior, and it will destroy your marriage. It'll destroy your family. Kids are that smart, whether they know they're doing it on purpose, but they know how to work the husband and wife. So while this isn't going to deal with that particular style of marriage destruction, I will talk about that here in the next couple days, come to think of it. Remind me that somebody write to me and ask me that. But we're going to get to tonight, we're going to talk about a husband and a wife that don't believe the same way. We got problems in there more and more these days. What do you do in a case like that? Well, we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and we're going to go down to verse 10, and where we're going to see here where there's problems. And he says, "And unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband." Okay, so there's where somebody's going to go and say, "See, divorce is wrong." Well, let's keep going here. Verse 11. "But, and if she depart," okay, well, so again, you can get a divorce. Then you come up with this verse. "Let her remain unmarried, or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife." Okay, there's God's design for how this stuff goes. "But to the rest speak I, not the Lord." Oh, really, Paul? So what it looks like here, he says, "But to the rest," now these other people, he says, "speak I, not the Lord." So in other words, this is Paul speaking, not the Lord. Is that what he says here? Well, let me take you to the end of this chapter and show you what he says at the very end of this chapter. He says in verse 40, "I think also that I have the Spirit of God." So here's Paul talking about marriages. Well, Paul's not married. What does he know about this stuff? What does he know here? He says in verse 10, "And unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord." This is what the Lord has to say. "Let not the wife depart from her husband. But, and if she depart, let her remain unmarried, or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife." That's what the Lord says, okay? And then he says in 12, now I have something to say, but this isn't from the Lord. Well, first of all, why would it be in our scriptures? It's from the Lord, it's from the risen Savior. Well, yeah, but Paul says, speak I, not the Lord. Yes, but also at the end of that chapter, he says, and I think also that I have the Spirit of God. So Paul realizes when he's teaching what he's teaching here, he believes that God showed him to make that, God told him what to teach. Because again, he's not married. What does he know? What he knows is what God told him. Okay. So, let's go back to verse 12. But to the rest speak I, not the Lord. If any brother hath a wife that believeth not. Ah, now think about that. Believeth what not? Well, believeth that the Savior is the risen Savior. Paul's the apostle. King James Bible, rightly divided. Throw out your Baptist church. Throw out your Pentecostal church. Throw out your Catholic church. Throw out your Lutheran church, your Methodist church, your Presbyterian church. Go down the list. The Christian Fellowship Church, the Church of the Holy Grail. I mean, whatever you want to have for a church situation, you know. If it's a church that isn't teaching us Paul's ways, the church itself, your church, your specific pastor, the doctrine that your church represents, if it's not teaching Paul as the only apostle, if it's not teaching rightly divide that King James Bible, even if you have a King James Bible, it must be rightly divided or they're going to use it on you. If your church is preaching, speaking in tongues, if your church is speaking about God giving your pastor a message, if your church is speaking about the Gospels to be still taught to you, you're in a false local assembly. I would venture to say, in my opinion, not that it really matters, you probably aren't even part of the body of Christ. You might have some wisdom. You might be enjoying your King James Bible in such a manner. You might be enjoying the prophecy that's going around because things are falling apart so fast. It doesn't take much of a guy to be able to figure out, or a woman to figure out what's wrong with this country. It doesn't take many people to realize where this country is headed. If they have any idea about the tribulation, then they're pumping that stuff out like crazy these days because all they have to do is go to Revelation. But they don't go to Paul, do they? They don't go to Paul's writings. They go to Revelation. They go to Peter. They go to Jude. They go to Matthew. They go to the Gospels. But they still skip Paul. If your pastor's skipping Paul, get out of there. Okay. So this is what we have. We have a brother. He's a Christian. He's a brother, part of the body of Christ. If he's got a wife that doesn't believe, okay, do you dump her? Do you throw her out? Look at this. It says, and she pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. So, brothers, so men, if you believe what you believe with this Paul stuff, et cetera, et cetera, and you're a believer, but we're looking at a serious Christian following the risen Savior Christ through Paul, et cetera. I say it again, but I won't this time. But your wife doesn't believe that. She hasn't seen it yet. She doesn't understand it yet. But she's not causing any trouble, not causing any problems. You know, she pleases to dwell with you. Says, let him not put her away. Just because you jump into Paul, you don't have the reason to get rid of her and get a new one that understands Paul. If she pleases to dwell with you. Same thing, verse 13. And the woman, which hath an husband that believeth not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. But see, the key here is pleasing to dwell with each other. I mean, is there trouble in the house? Are you having fights and squabbles over this stuff? Well, then we got an issue here. But if you don't, this is the dispensation of grace. Men, we're supposed to be like Christ. We're supposed to give ourselves for her. So if there's no conflict there, and you're learning how to be the good husband with grace, with the goodness of God, the goodness of the husband, faithful, etc., etc., then you're okay. Now, let's look at this next verse, and I know where you're going to want to go with this thing. It says here, for the unbelieving husband. Okay, now we're talking about the wife here. The woman which hath an husband that believeth not, if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. Really? We'll come back to that in a minute. This is a fabulous thing to learn here tonight, this morning. It says in verse 15, but if the unbelieving depart, you know, if they don't want to dwell with you, They don't want to understand what's going on here and be willing to dwell with you, whichever one it is. If the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God hath called us to peace. If you can't have a peaceful family over the stuff that you're believing with Paul and the risen Savior, Jesus Christ, etc., etc., King James Bible, if it is not a peaceful situation, the unbelieving one can depart. Let him depart, he says. Then he says, let's go down to verse 27. We'll come back to 14 in a minute. Let's go down to verse 27. Art thou bound unto a wife? Sure you are. You're married. Seek not to be loosed. Art thou loosed from a wife? Seek not a wife. Okay? But now look at this verse. But, and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. There's another section in here, the context, if a virgin marry, she hath not sinned. But we're talking about the husband and wife. Then he says, nevertheless, such, meaning the virgin and or, you know, the husband and wife marrying again, but and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh. But I spare you. So God isn't going to give them a hard time. But you know, a remarriage, you're going to carry baggage from the previous marriage. You're going to have what they call alimony, I think. You're going to have issues with the children that aren't going to just work. Nothing's going to be smooth. He says, but listen, if you do marry, you haven't sinned. Just remember, you are going to have trouble in the flesh. It is going to be a challenge. So these guys that are preaching, divorce is wrong. Divorce is okay, and it isn't just in a fornication, adultery, unfaithful basis. It's whether or not that the one that you're living with, you're married to, is willing to live with you in peace because you believe what you believe and she wants to believe what you, but if you're living together in heart, that's fine. No big deal. But if that one says, listen, I don't believe like that. I can't believe like you're doing. So I'm out of here. You let him go. The divorce is okay. But what about pastors with a divorce? Well, okay, I wasn't going to get into that, but let's just go right to this thing in 1 Timothy. I got to finish that thing in verse 14. But let's go here to Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 3. This is where they go, okay? This is a true saying, verse 1. If a man desire the office of a bishop, and that would be the pastoral position, okay? He desireth a good work. Ah, good for him. A bishop then must be blameless, okay? The husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Now, there's a lot of things that could be preached there to young preachers, to people that want to be pastors or whatever. You desire a good work. But the only thing that they talk about is in the first part where it says a bishop must be the husband of one wife. They skip all the rest. And the one that they ought not skip is the one in verse 4, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection. Just think, how many preachers' kids do you know that are not the good little kids they ought to be? Now, they're going to have their problems. They're going to have their challenges. Kids are kids. But to be in subjection to their pastor, that man, that father, has to be able to, not just because he's a king and a dictator to his family. You study what a husband's supposed to be to his children. He's supposed to charge them. He's supposed to exhort them. But he's also supposed to comfort them. There's all sorts of things that a husband and a father can be to his children. It isn't just demanding subjection. But how many pastors' kids and how many pastors don't have the time for their kids? Their kids are rotten little kids in the school. They're rotten little kids in the church, et cetera, et cetera. I won't get into that stuff. We've got to get back to this other point. So they skip verse 4 and verse 5. And they ought not. There's more damage going on in our churches, the local assemblies again, from pastor dads that are lousy dads. Can't take care of the house. Most cases, I'll tell you what, I could give you name after name after name. It's the wife that's running the ministry. It's the wife that's running the show. It's the wife that tells the pastor what to preach. It's the wife that runs everything. It's the wife that everybody turns to. I'm telling you, I've seen it by the gazillions. So people are criticizing pastors because of this divorce issue. They better get to verse 4 and verse 5 if they really want to get into something serious. But this thing, let's go back here. The husband of one wife. Now these guys, I can take too long on this. The husband of one wife. What about single pastors? They're not the husband of one wife. They have no wife. Does that eliminate all single pastors? Well, Paul wasn't married. Right? Do you know any single pastors out there? They've got time to dedicate, just like Paul says, to dedicate their lives to serving the Lord, to dedicate their lives to being that pastor, to dedicate their lives to studying the Word of God, to dedicate their lives to coming up with messages that encourage people and teach people, get in and help them with their marriages and get them in there. Paul wasn't married, and yet he says, listen, I believe that I have the Spirit of God. So a single guy can get into this Bible and rightly divide this thing, and he can counsel marriages as good as anybody. Doesn't have to have the experience of a marriage. Do you have to have the experience of a divorce in order to preach to divorce people? No, you just have to know your scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 takes care of it all. So what about a divorce pastor? Well, we just read in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, a divorce is okay if under the fact that there's no peace going on in that home, and they don't believe the same. So, what does a pastor commit? The unpardonable sin, which, by the way, does not exist in the dispensation of grace, only in the tribulation and in the gospel days. So, do these pastors come up with a sin that is non-forgivable? Can this man not get back up again and go on with the truth as Paul teaches and preaches, the risen Savior? Can he not do that? These guys are killing these preachers out there. There's preachers probably all over this country that should be in a pulpit if they're preaching and teaching the risen Savior by Paul. So the whole divorce thing with pastors and husbands and all that stuff, 1 Corinthians chapter 7 takes care of it. Now, we've got to get back, before we run out of time, we've got to go back to this verse here that talks about the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife. Does that mean that her husband is saved because the wife is? Does that mean that the wife is saved because the husband is? Does that mean the children are suddenly holy because mom or dad is? That's a Calvinistic, that is not the way it goes. So what do we have to do? We have to pull up the old 1828 dictionary and look up the word sanctify. It's very simple. Sanctify can mean to purify. It can, and quite often it does. But in this case, we know it can't be referring to the fact that the husband is purified because of his wife. Or the wife is purified because of her husband. We know that isn't the way it can be. Just by understanding what Scripture is, what Scripture says about salvation, etc., etc. But here are some other definitions of sanctify that would make totally sense here. To separate, to set apart, to make free from guilt, to secure from violation, it says here. And listen to this statement. God sanctifies himself. What? God sanctifies himself? How can he do that? Well, can this woman sanctify her husband? Listen to this now. God sanctifies himself or his name by vindicating his honor from the reproaches of the wicked. So what are we saying here? We're saying without a doubt here that if a wife gets a hold of the Paul stuff, she is separate, she is set apart from her husband. He is set apart from her. He's got his own accountability. She is not accountable to his demands and abuse that he puts on her. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. That believing husband, that believing wife, there's a separation in there. God looks at that woman and says, listen, you're married to an antichrist kind of a guy. You guys are separated. You're off the hook. Your husband's got to deal with what he's got to deal with. Same thing to the wife. That wife, she doesn't want to believe. She's got to do what she's going to do. What she's going to do. Husband, you're off the hook. You guys have been set apart. Really? Well, sure. Now look at what it says in verse 15. But if the unbelieving depart. So it just carries through here. You shouldn't get divorced. If you do, you really ought not get married again because you're going to have trouble in the flesh. But if you do, you have not sinned. If you've got issues going on with the home, adultery, of course, we won't get into that tonight. This morning. What we're looking at here is where Paul says, listen, if there's an unbelieving person involved here, you're separated from each other. You're not accountable to that. He's not accountable. So see, ladies, if you've got yourself a dog, an antichristy kind of a man, and he says what he does, and he does what he does, and all these things, and he treats you like that, you're off the hook. You do not have to sit around, and like it says in 1 Peter, and obey that guy and be in subjection to that guy. Same thing to the husband towards the wife. So if the unbelieving does depart, if your marriage splits apart, it's okay. You're not under bondage in such cases, because God has called us to peace. And then he says, but if thou do remarry again, you know, but and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. But you will have trouble. There will be challenges there. If you really want to serve the risen Savior, and you really want to serve him through Paul, the apostle of the King James Rightly Divided, you want to learn how to be that Christian woman based on what Paul teaches to the women, and you're serious about it, Paul says, it's best that you don't get married again. He says it's best that you don't get married in the first place. But if the first one falls apart because you get married for the wrong reasons, it wasn't a marriage, quote, blessed by God, it wasn't based on scriptural reasons, you've got an antichrist tribulation. You got a mess. You can get out of it and not have an ounce of guilt. God takes care of that thing. Now, if you have differences within the husband and wife, and you guys get along fine, and you're willing to be together, and you're pleased to dwell with each other, then you're fine. Stay with it. Do your best to be what you have to be for God. And remember, Paul says, listen, if you're going to marry a man, you're going to have to take care of him. So ladies, you still got to take care of that guy. And men, you still have to be like Christ loved the church to that woman. But if it doesn't work, you can hit the road. Want to get married again? Going to have trouble in the flesh? Go for it. But if you really want to serve God, through Paul, risen Savior, King James Bible, rightly divided, it's best that you don't again. Unless, of course, you've got that burn in you. It's going to cause problems then. You go out and find a man that's willing, or a wife that's willing to believe what you believe, and get it together, have a fantastic marriage. And if you want to be a pastor, man, go for it. Just don't let your wife run the ministry. But if your wife is studying Paul like she should, she'll help you as you run the ministry. It's all there. The King James Bible shows us how it should work. But we are so far from it today, we are just a blink of an eye away from the tribulation. This whole Christmas push is going to show you some stuff about the tribulation. Read Revelation chapter 11 if you want to get ahead of the next program or whatever. And I'm telling you, this is fantastic, marvelous stuff. And for me to cram this down into 25 minutes, I don't think I said it very well, but there it is. Don't just listen to me. Open up your Bible. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and read it slowly. And forget about what your pastors have taught you. Just read what God taught you. And you can do it through Paul. And yes, Paul says it was him speaking, not the Lord. But when he was done, he says, you know, I think I have the Spirit of God. I think I taught you something that God wants you to know. And he did. And he does.